Now, first things first, before we get started, this is a public call. Everybody's welcome. There's customers, there's partners, there's Microsoft employees here too. This is going to be public material, so no NDA info is to be discussed here. If you do have some questions that are under those terms, please, well, you can always reach and should reach definitely to your Microsoft account team, and we'll take that on the side with you. And feel free to use the IM window in the during the presentation to ask questions. So my peers will be helping out there, and maybe I can take some live as we go as well. And finally, the session is being recorded, and it's going to be posted at ak.ms/Azure Networking Fridays, and the historic content is there too for the sessions of the of last fall. So the agenda for today, we're going to be doing a little bit of a 0 to 60 on Azure Networking. We're going to welcome two new team members. And we have our special guest this week, Wisbal Natarajan, who is a Senior Program Manager in Azure CAP, as well as Tony Benuelos, who is with Cisco, who's going to be talking to us about the their CSR appliance. And at the end, there's going to be an open Q&A. But as I said, if you know, feel free to ask questions as we go, and we'll try to get them answered if at all possible as we go along. So you might have seen this already. Azure is really a global, hybrid, and trusted network. We're present in 36 regions, more than double the amount of AWS. Very well distributed. Our network is quite big. Has like 1.6 million. miles of fibers in RDC. That doesn't include what's outside of RDC. And you can safely connect an express route to all of these locations globally. There's multiple locations, around 35 express route locations that you can use. So Azure in a nutshell, you guys know probably what it is or start consuming it. You know, there's the platform services and there's the basic services on which all of that is built. And those are essentially the compute, storage and network. And obviously this is the Azure Networking Friday, so this is what we're going to be focusing our discussion on. And we're going to be talking a little bit about virtual networks, about express route, about gateways. And with Cisco, we're also going to be talking about network virtual appliances that are VMs, but that, you know, perform networking functions. So let's get started real quick. So the big picture, right? So you create in Azure your virtual networks. So you bring your own IP address space, and you could think of this in the enterprise world as a VRF, right? Where all your things are isolated. They live within their own world. You use the IP space that you see fit, and you can control the routing and you control the security of those communications. But how do you connect to that? Well, there's different ways, right? Your users would connect through the internet typically, or your customers. Some users could use front-end applications that are, you know, publicly available, directly exposed in Azure. And you could always have other services. You know, you could use our DNS services, our global load balancing called Azure Traffic Manager. And all those services are protected from DDoS by the infrastructure that we have put in place to secure these public endpoints. But there's other ways you can connect to, right? And backend connectivity is what gets you that. There's essentially three other ways, and then there's which I would say that are in two different families. So there's the VPN connections, and the VPN connections can be point-to-site VPN as well as site-to-site VPN. And point-to-site VPN, think of it as you have on your laptop a VPN client that you install. Just like you would probably have to connect to your corporate networks today, and that VPN terminates onto a VPN gateway that's living in Azure in your virtual network, and that allows you to connect to that virtual network. So that's the point-to-site option. And then there's a site-to-site option, which is pretty much what a typical VPN is, right, where you have your on-premise stuff or, you know, stuff that's hosted somewhere in a colo, and this can be connected to Azure using the same idea of a typical VPN. So that allows full, hybrid connectivity where you have sessions that can be initiated both from on-prem to Azure and from Azure to on-prem. So that enables applications where data might be residing on-premise, and you might have application servers that are in Azure, and they could talk to each other. And then the next option after that is ExpressRoute, where it's the very similar idea that than the site-to-site VPN, except that you can, well, you have an SLA on it for one thing, and you can go at much higher speeds, up to 10 gigabits per second. So where can you connect when you use ExpressRoute from? Well, there's quite a few locations. There's actually 36 locations globally. So wherever you are, you can connect to the Microsoft network, and from there we carry you all the way up to your Azure regions and the workloads that you're consuming in Azure. And there's three national clouds or isolated clouds. So there's the one for U.S. government, there's one in Germany, and there's one in China. And the other ones that we were seeing before are to connect to what we've referred to as the commercial cloud. So you can connect from your network through these Meet Me locations onto our network through a global ecosystem of partners. And even if your partner is not there, what is key, if your carrier is not there, what is key to understand is that there are exchange location partners, and to the, of the likes of CoLogix, Equinix, there's other guys out there, Megaport. And with these guys, any carrier that can bring you to a location where these guys are can connect you to ExpressRoute. And you can also have some other more integrated layer 3 connection through an MPLS provider. And that allows you to connect to Azure. But what do you do once you're in Azure? When we're talking about the IaaS workloads, which are really virtual machines, on top of which you can build pretty much anything you want. But traditionally, when people started adopting the cloud, you would build one virtual network and put all your security stack in the network, right you see at the top here. And then Line of Business One creates this app, has to put a set of firewalls there and to put a whole bunch of control. And then Line of Business Two comes up to you and comes up to the IT department and asks kind of the same things. And then you build this out, but you ask them to put the same set of firewalls, and Line of Business Three comes and the same discussion goes around. And so you end up duplicating the infrastructure in multiple virtual networks. And then there's one rogue guy who just does not put this infrastructure there, right? So you don't want that. Typically, what you have in common is those infrastructure, firewall, monitoring, and these kinds of things. And what we've come up with recently is VNet peering. And what does VNet peering do? Well, VNet peering allows you to have different topologies, certainly the hub and spoke one, that's the one that you see on the screen. And that hub and spoke topology is able to allow you to share those components, really. So you could really have like one gateway that you see on the right, the red gateway, and that gateway can be shared by the virtual networks that are on the left. So you don't have to build virtual gateways in each of these virtual networks, for one thing. And the second thing is you could have a set of firewalls there, a set of routers, and, you know, not necessarily having to replicate and duplicate them in each of your subscriptions. So that's the kind of things that this allows you to do, and you don't really have any speed. You know, the bandwidth between VNets is the same as within a VNet. So you don't have to think about, oh, am I going to slow down my application by doing this? You won't be. Okay, so that's the whole thing. And as there is a network, an ecosystem of partners for ExpressRoute, there definitely is an ecosystem of partners for virtual appliance. And we're super happy to have Cisco with us today, with whom we're going to be talking a little bit later. But there's a whole bunch of these manufacturers and vendors who create their, typically, which were physical or virtual appliances that you would run on-premise, and run them in Azure. I'm introducing one new member of the team, who is Brian Woodworth, who is going to be talking a little bit to us right now. So if you want to unmute yourself, Brian, and talk a bit about yourself to the audience.
Sure. Hi. Yeah, good morning, everyone. It's nice to meet you. Glad to be part of the team. Thanks, Olivier, for the introduction. I'm one of the newer Global Black Belts and ExpressRoute, and Eddie is also my counterpart. You'll be meeting him shortly. So I've been on the team for just about 2 months, and prior to that, I was actually working in Azure on the infrastructure side. So if some of you may know or have heard of Albert Greenberg, he's our CVP of infrastructure, and he's building all of the networking pieces and components that are actually running all these services that Olivier is talking about. So I was part of that team and very focused on the load balancer product. And some of you may know the Azure Load Balancer as a service and be using it today. So that was kind of my cup of tea. Prior to that, I spent about 8 years with F5 working on application delivery and security. So that gives me a pretty strong background in the full stack. So I'm interested in the application gateway in addition to ExpressRoute, and you know, a lot of HTTP SSL offload kind of thing is where my headspace is at. So I hope to be working with some of you or all of you, as many as possible, to help set up your ExpressRoute connectivity and answer all the questions I can help you answer. So it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much, Brian. And as he said, he's been super involved in the product group before. That was his previous job, so it's very helpful to the team. Great addition. We're very happy to have him with us. And next is also a new member to the team, who was previously working and might have been working with some of you, some of our customers, with ExpressRoute and certainly other workloads as well. But I'll let Eddie introduce himself. So over to you, Eddie.
Hey, Olivier, thank you very much. Hi, everybody. My name is Eddie Villalba. As Olivier mentioned, I have done a little bit of work on ExpressRoute prior to my current official role as a global black belt for ExpressRoute and networking. I've also cover our open source technologies in Azure as well, so I kind of do a dual role in that regards. I'm a newlywed, so just married back in April. We're about to celebrate our one-year anniversary this coming April. I've been at Microsoft for 7 years, a total of 16 years in IT. Born and raised in New York, although I lost my accent traveling the globe as a member of the United States Air Force, where I served 10 years as a combat controller. I attended Florida State University, Go Noles, and as you can see, I am a CISSP, Microsoft Cloud Architect. I didn't put my CCNP in there because it's been a while since I let that one lapse, but I do have my CCNP as well, and I do a lot of volunteer work, and I'm looking forward to helping you guys out, both customers, Microsoft employees, and our partners, make sure that we meet all your goals in terms of networking and hybrid connectivity moving forward. Thanks, Olivier.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Eddie, and welcome again to the team. We're super glad to have both of you guys. And now we're going to welcome our colleague, sorry, Francophone here, might sound in my accent, Bala, who is going to be talking to us about Azure Stack. And some of you might have heard about Azure Stack, but he's going to be explaining to us the different connectivity options real quick, because we could definitely talk for 1 hour and more than 1 hour solely about that. But an integration scenario, an interesting integration scenario of the technical preview of Azure Stack and how it would integrate through networking gears to Azure, the real Azure cloud. So over to you, Bala.
Thank you, Olivia. I am Bala. I am from the Enterprise Cloud Group CAT team. We work with customers for architecting their cloud infrastructure. I focus on the hybrid connectivity part. Today I'm going to talk about how to connect Azure Stack to Azure. So before I go into actual details, Azure Stack is basically Azure in a box in your data center. So that's a very, very simple form of trying to explain Azure Stack. We can talk a lot more about Azure Stack, but this session is focused towards how do I connect my Azure Stack to Azure and what are my connectivity options. And I am going to be talking about how to use ExpressRoute to connect Azure Stack to Azure. So in Azure Stack is currently in technical preview 2. And when you deploy Azure Stack, the network infrastructure looks like this, as shown in this diagram. Basically, the connectivity option that comes out of the box are to connect to Azure is through a site-to-site VPN link. So as Azure Stack, basically, you can run it in your enterprise or a hoster could run it and have multiple tenants in that stack. And each tenant logs into their Azure Stack portal and create their own gateways. And the gateway, they can configure where do they want to connect. And in a typical case, it would be like they want to connect to an Azure VNet through a site-to-site VPN link. That's a traditional out-of-the-box support. And today I'm going to be talking about how do I connect using ExpressRoute. So the out-of-the-box thing basically requires you to have a public IP for connecting to Azure VPN gateway, because that's the supported model for Azure VPN gateway. So you are supposed to connect from a public IP address. And typically, this Azure stack, the gateway, customers normally put a firewall in front of it, and NAT, the public IP is on the external firewall, and there is a NAT behind it, and then the Azure Stack multi-tenant gateway resides between in that NAT network. And even though technically this works, some customers, especially customers in the financial segment, say that, okay, hey, I can't put everything on my public IP. To connect to my Azure VNets, my company's security policy says that it cannot go over internet, so give me a path to connect to Azure using ExpressRoute. And that is what we focused on in my team. And how do I connect my Azure stack using ExpressRoute? So Olivia talked about various models of connecting to Azure, like a dial-up VPN or a site-to-site VPN. And now in Azure stack, out of the box, it supports the IPsec site-to-site VPN tunnel, and I'm going to be talking about how to connect it through ExpressRoute. So the way I have it here is the right-hand side diagram is the typical Azure Stack network architecture, and currently I have a deployment, and what I have is behind the firewall, you see a router. And that router is basically a Cisco ASR 1004, I think. And I am just expanding that Cisco router on the left-hand side. And you have a big box with multiple VRFs created. And below that, you can see the various tenant networks that are created. Basically, this lower box is the Azure Stack stamp. And that connects to the Cisco router, and using again site-to-site VPN. So on the Cisco router, on the LAN interface, it also acts like my VPN endpoint for my Azure Stack tenant. So each tenant will have a dedicated site-to-site VPN endpoint. They connect within my network to the Cisco ASR router. On the WAN side of the Cisco router, I have an ER connection, and I have multiple virtual circuits, one for each of these tenants, and each of the virtual circuits, the ExpressRoute allows you to connect to the Azure IaaS, Azure PaaS, and Office 365 Cloud. So each one of them would be in their own separate VRF. So when you establish the ER connection, and then transfer the routes to the specific VRF, and then when the tenant of the Azure stack connects to its end of the Cisco's router through site-to-site, that site-to-site connection is also put on the same VRF for the tenant which uses the express route. So from a tenant, I could actually go through the site-to-site connection to the Cisco router, and within the Cisco router VRF, I can connect to the specific ExpressRoute circuit and connect to my own VNet. And let me demonstrate this quickly. So let me share my desktop.
So those scenarios would typically be used, Bella, by service providers or hosting providers and super large enterprises.
Yeah. super large enterprises are hosters, so they can use this model and say, hey, they will have a typical Cisco router or whatever router they use, and then they provide the VPN endpoints for the Azure tenants. The Azure tenants goes and it gives me an error when I try to present my screen. Let me attempt that one more time.
Okay. Just bear with us, everyone. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I see it's loading here.
It's loading, but normally I get a prompt. It is failing to share my screen.
Okay, well, if you want, we'll give it maybe one more minute. Try to maybe log back out in and out or kill your Skype and start it over again. We'll try one more time. And if it's not possible, maybe you can describe a little bit what was the intent. We'll see you right then.
How do I return back to the slide deck? The screen is blank actually now. I don't have the takeover presenter or...
Oh, no, because it's there's nothing that's being presented right now. I'm just loading back the deck. Yeah.
Okay. So let me take over as presenter one more time and try to share my desktop.
Sorry about this technical glitch, guys. And thanks for bearing with us.
Okay. All right. So let me try to explain this in a different way. So can you load the deck again? Sorry.
Yep.
Or take over presenter. Sure.
Yep. So now the deck is being loaded. Okay.
Okay. So basically what I did is created a specific VRF. I will be writing a document on how to actually do that. And this document will go in our Azure Stack documentation. Currently, this is more of a proof of concept thing. We are testing it out. And I want to make sure that currently I have connectivity to my Azure IIS. I will then add the public peering and Microsoft peering to my ER circuit so that I can connect from my tenant to all three clouds of Microsoft through the ER circuit. And I will write a document on how to actually do that and share the link and maybe in a later Friday session. Okay? That's all I have. Olivia, you can take over.
And, all right. Thank you. Thank you, Bella. And sorry, everyone, those things happen now and then. And just to make sure you understand really what it is, Azure Stack, and I've seen the demo and been quite impressed with it, is really it's Azure in a box, right? You have your Azure Stack, you create your resource group, you create your resources just in the same way as you would do in the Azure Cloud. Albeit it's a bit different because not every resource is there, but this is really how you can build your private cloud. And what Bala wanted to show us is really how to integrate this into the outside world, because living in its own bubble doesn't serve no purpose. They always need to talk at some point outside. So we'll get another chance to look at that. So thank you very much, Bala. And, with this, we will be introducing, Tony Benuelos, who's a technical marketing engineer with Cisco. So Tony, feel free to take it away. Can you think? Oh, I might want to unmute yourself, Tony.
Hi, hello everyone.
Hi, Tony. We hear you fine.
Thank you for the introduction, Olivier. Great, perfect. Thank you for your time. Hopefully, I'm bringing some good information for you guys. So let's just get started. So, been with Cisco about 17 years. Been a product manager for the last 3 years. And today I am managing the Cisco CSR 1000V, which is our virtual router, which is offered on the Azure Marketplace. And so what is the CSR 1000V? It's basically, if you are familiar with Cisco networking, it is the ASR 1000, ISR 4000 parity in a virtual form factor. It is the familiar iOS XC operating system of Cisco's routers. This product does run on any x86 platform. We support it across a variety of hypervisors and cloud platforms, including Microsoft Azure and Microsoft Hyper-V. From a performance perspective, it really does depend on the platform that is exposed to the software, but we can have a range of 10, starts at 10 megabits per second all the way through 10 gigabits per second.
Sorry to interrupt you, Tony. Do you mind taking over as a presenter? You might.
Sure.
I want to make sure that I'm moving the slides at the right pace, but you would be the best person to do it.
Got it.
Thanks. Sorry for that interruption.
Great. Thank you. No problem. So, as I was saying, the CPU footprint that we can take advantage of is the 1V CPU to 8V CPUs. And we offer the product on a license option, so you can get a term-based license for a year, 3 years, or 5 years. Smart licensing is an option that you have for Cisco that is brand new, not too new, it's about 2 years old, but allows you to dynamically spin up services. It's more suited for virtual environments or even cloud environments where you don't have to tie a license to a device and have that license be tied to a particular device for the life of that product. These licenses are dynamic and can be reassigned to products without having to worry about hardware serial numbers or even soft unique device identifiers within our software. From a programmability perspective, we support a range of APIs. We do support NetConf, yeah. We support RESTConf, and then for our classic users of Cisco routing, we have SSH Telnet to do automated scripting. These are the use cases that the CSR 1000V plays in. This is where we see most of our customers deploying services. The one that we're going to concentrate on today, obviously, is the cloud networking. That's your two green columns. Whether you're coming into Azure through VPN over the internet, or you are using Express Route, there are use cases and there are benefits to the CSRs, and hopefully I can cover that here with you. So why support Microsoft Azure? As you well know, Azure does have the capabilities of having a VPN gateway. They can do BGP peering. But typically when our customers are moving to the cloud, they want to have the same experience, they want to have the same level of feature set that they regularly have in their private data center and extend that up to the cloud. They might also be creating a hybrid cloud where they keep some presence at their private data center and extend some of those workloads out to the cloud. They want to leverage same type of policies that they're used to on-prem. So the CSR 1000V is going to bring you a very rich feature operating system for networking that allows you to do a lot more traffic shaping and inspection and security segregation of traffic that you would normally want within a data center hosting your critical mission critical application. So the other thing is that being able to extend your current networking, I'm sure a lot of you are a Cisco shop. If you're not, hopefully I can convince you to try the CSR 1000V and Azure anyway, but most of you will probably have Cisco routers at your premise. So being able to extend that, you already probably have it extended, connecting your branches to your campus site, having some type of secure connectivity between them so that you can communicate across with no issues. But bringing the CSR 1000V just extends that routing fabric into cloud, and You know, it doesn't matter which cloud provider you choose. A lot of our customers choose both Amazon and Microsoft. You would be able to create a single fabric, routing fabric across with same policies. Some of the benefits that gets you bringing iOS XE into public cloud, again, as I mentioned, extends that existing routing topology that you already have. It integrates with your existing VPN topology. So maybe you have FlexVPN between your branch sites. Maybe you're using DMVPN. It would be very simple to spin up the CSR 1000V, make it a spoke DMVPN endpoint, pointed to your hub at campus site, and it's now talking to all of your branches directly securely. Or you can choose to make the CSR 1000V your DMVPN hub, and once it discovers all your branch sites, then all your branch sites are communicating directly to Azure and directly between them within a secure DMVPN mesh. We have firewalling capabilities on iOS XE that you can extend into Azure and provide segmentation between subnets if you need to create user groups. Maybe certain user groups have access to a certain subnet with certain workloads, but the other does not. You can create those zones. You would have the networking logs that you're used to on-prem. You would be able to leverage those existing tools that exist on-prem. You would be able to identify cloud performance problems. So you have the capabilities of using IPSLA, using protocols like BFD to detect link status and take actions based on maybe turning on an EM script and taking rerouting traffic. iOS XE is, again, common operating system across our branch and data center portfolio, so your staff at the networking admin level would know how to support and troubleshoot the iOS XE code. And so it would be an easy transition. It would be an easier transition for your networking team to move connectivity into your public cloud. Let's quickly cover the use cases here. The most common use case, obviously, is your VPN access. So you're coming in from your corporate or branch office. You want to have good, secure connectivity into Azure, but you want to use a common DMVPN or FlexVPN solution. You're able to spin up the CSR 1000V and make that part of your routing fabric. The CSR 1000V is a hub. Also on Azure supports up to 1,000 current concurrent VPN tunnels. So if you wanted to make your Azure a hub site for VPN connections, you would be able to support up to 1,000 branch sites. And again, standard iOS-based VPN configuration. So whatever scripts you use to configure your devices on-prem, you would just simply be able to leverage those and automate your configuration within Azure. The other use case is having the capability to run SSL VPN. And for your remote users that are traveling, that are working out of a hotel room, out of a Starbucks, they'll be able to launch an AnyConnect client within any of their devices. So AnyConnect is supported on Mac OS, it's supported on Windows 10. It's supported on your iPhones, on your also your Windows-based phones, your Androids. So they would be able to connect securely directly to a CSR 1000V running on Azure and have direct access to the applications that they need at that moment without having to hairpin and deal with latencies that might be added through coming in from a branch site and then coming through another VPN tunnel and then back into Azure. You would be able to prevent that hairpinning and come directly into public cloud. The other benefit is tying within regions, extending that connectivity between regions or even between across accounts. You would be able to spin up those CSR 1000Vs and make those VNets across regions or across accounts just part of a VPN mesh network and allow you to onboard different sites from different platforms to the same common routing fabric. And then you have the ability to have those advanced features on iOS XE. Number one, security. Our stateful firewall would allow you to secure subnets between groups, and you would be able to export flow records using NetFlow for forensic analysis to understand who's trying to get where and who was blocked and at what time and when it happened. The other thing is that you would be able to turn on our Cisco application visibility and control feature, which is based on the NBAR protocol, which has a fingerprint of over 1,000 different applications. So at a layer 7, you would be able to identify, you know, not only at port 80 or port 443, but you would be able to identify applications within those transport protocols and see if it's mission critical application or application that you really don't want users accessing or bringing into your public cloud. And based on that information, then create policies with our quality of service to either block certain types of traffic or maybe render them to a lesser bandwidth than your mission critical application. From a commercial aspect, the CSR-1000V is sold in technology packages and throughputs. So based on a combination of a technology package that you choose, and you can see the features that we support within each of the technology packages, which is IP-based, SEC, APEX, and AX. You would choose your technology package and then a throughput between 10 meg and 10 gig, and that would give you a price. Where to find the CSR-1000V? Simply go to the Azure Marketplace, you type in Cisco, and the CSR-1000V will come up as a listing. We are offering today a D2 V2 version and a D3 V2 version. These come in a 2 VNIC and a 4 VNIC template, respectively. In a couple of weeks now, beginning of February, we will launch also a D4 V2 option that will come with an 8 VNIC template option. I won't dive too much into this. You guys know these basic concepts, but very quickly, just so you know how the CSR ties into Azure and how do you leverage it as a default gateway. So obviously, you need a resource group that ties all the resources within a VNet where the CSR is going to reside. You're going to get your interfaces, your public IP address. You're going to modify your security groups to enable certain ports to do SSH and also allow for VPN or IPsec packets to come through. You're going to modify your routing tables so that those routing tables or your UDRs in specific point to your CSR for all outgoing traffic between your workloads and your on-prem location or even out to internet. From a basic conception, the route tables in the VNet, as I mentioned, by default point to your Azure route table gateway, right? So it's that .1. And that route table, you will want to overwrite by using user-defined routes so that they point to the CSR private IP addresses. So each subnet will have can have a CSR-1000V interface, and you would want to point all your traffic out to the CSR IP address through your UDRs. From a public IP address perspective, it's pretty simple. So on the CSR, you would want to create an interface and place it on what you would want to label as a public subnet. So it's still a private subnet, but that's where you're going to attach your public IP address interface, which would then tie into that public subnet with the CSR. So the CSR has access and is the device handling the traffic coming in and out of your public interface. To make a deployment easy, so as I mentioned, the sets of templates that we have there today are a 2-NIC CSR, and we do have a 4-NIC CSR. An 8-NIC is coming. But most importantly, you do want to enable IP forwarding for each interface. And on the security group level, you want to allow port UDP 500 and UDP 4500 so that you can, support the NAT tee so that those IPsec tunnels can establish and the IPsec tunnel packets are coming through UDP 500. So that's what you want to modify on your security group. From a feature perspective, again, a number of NICs that we support today on Azure are 4. 8 is coming very soon. High availability of routing, so being able to spin up 2 CSRs within a VNet, running each in on its own availability zone, and having the ability to fail over all traffic of workloads from one to the other is coming. That is roadmap, and we are actually, if there's anybody interested, maybe they can reach out to you, but we are looking for beta customers that would like to try this on Azure.
Sure, thanks for letting us know. I'll take note of that, because I'm sure that there's a few people that have suggested that this is limiting for them. Good to know there's a beta.
Yep. We do support multiple IP addresses on a single VNIC today now. So you don't have to have, an interface per subnet. You can actually divvy up the interface into multiple subnets. We still don't allow overlapping addresses. GRE tunnel is not supported yet, but you can do encryption of that GRE tunnel so that Azure doesn't drop those packets, and that works well. That's how we do DMVPN today on Azure. We cannot add or remove interfaces on a running CSR today within Azure, but again, we do have we're going to have the templates to deploy a 2 VNIC, a 4 VNIC, or an 8 VNIC CSR. From a performance perspective, we can do up to 1,000 megabits or a gig throughput on Azure today. This is using our D3V2 or D4V2. From an IPsec perspective, if you're encrypting and you're required to encrypt, on a D2, we can achieve 100 megabits per second. And on the D3s, V2s, and D4V2s that's coming, we can achieve 700 megabits per second. And again, the scale number on how many tunnels we can support is 1,000. Just a little bit of roadmap here. We are looking to improve the throughput on Azure and cross the 1 gig throughput on the IPsec side. We're working constantly with our Microsoft counterparts to figure out the releases of SRIOV for our CSR 1000V, so we're waiting for those updates. So later in the year, I would say third quarter of this cycle year 17, you should expect some very good performance improvements on CSR within Azure. For additional resources, you can go to these links, find our deployment guide, which is very important. It's very easy to use. It explains how to deploy your CSR within Azure. It also documents how to create a DMVPN spoke configuration on that CSR so that you can join it to your existing DMVPN mesh network. If you have any questions, you can reach our team at the ask-csr-azure-pm@cisco.com alias. That would work for technical questions. If you guys had any commercial questions, I would ask you to point it to me and my other colleague at ask-csr-pm, and we would be able to help you with that as well.
And guys, don't forget the presentation will be posted on the blog as always, aka.ms/Azure Networking Fridays. And you will be able to, if you didn't have time to note those emails, you'll be able to get to them. So, Balor, can you we have our colleague Bala who was trying to do the demo on integrating Azure Stack with Azure. I think he should be able to do it now. So Bala, can you try?
Thanks, Olivia. Let me try one more time. I just locked back in.
Okay. And in the meantime, Tony, I've had there was one question that I've seen from
does the 1000V support connecting to multiple Merakais via IKE version 1?
We do support IKE version 1, yes.
Does it support multiple connections, I'm guessing, is what they're saying.
Yeah, multiple IKE1 connections, which the Azure gateways don't.
Right.
Oh, I see. Yeah, we do support multiple connections of IKE1.
Which is a good use case perhaps for Meraki. If you use the Cisco as a hub central VPN device.
Olivier, can you put me at the center one more time just to
You are.
Yeah, I am, but
Let's try again.
Okay.
See now if you can if you're able to.
So
can you share your screen?
Yeah, I am attempting to share. Let's see.
And in the meantime, if there's questions, feel free to I'll unmute the audience. If you want to get yourselves off mute and ask questions, that would be a good time.
Okay. I don't know that you. No.
Not working. Okay. Well.
Working. Okay.
We gave it another try. Thank you. Thank you, Bala. Okay. Anyone has a question for the team, for Cisco? Feel free to use IAM, unmute yourselves. And one of the things, Tony, in your presentation that I've, when you say that it doesn't support GRE tunnels, it's absolutely true. But there's other tunneling protocol that, you could simply tunnel in UDP or, you know, do AH, null, you know, with no encryption between two routers or ESP between two routers. Those things all work. But as you said, the encrypted runs really well. You can run the MVPN on top of that. But clearly it's only IP protocol 47, which is GRE for the geeks out there who know those protocol numbers, that that doesn't work. And IP in IP, which is another tunneling protocol, which I know doesn't work. But for the rest, it works absolutely well. And Guy Gregory had a question here. Yes, the recording will be available. It will be posted on Channel 9. And all the links will be posted here. Let me just paste the so if you just click on this, it'll lead to the blog post where the shortcuts for everything is. So if there's no more question, we'll give everybody back a few minutes, and then feel free to reach out to the team, reach out to us, reach out to Tony, and thank you very much, everybody. Have a great rest of the day and an awesome weekend. And thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay. Goodbye.